The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Harvard Heart Letter and probably from the Harvard Women's Health Watch as well. The first article comes from the July 2023 Harvard Heart Letter, and it's entitled Traditional Chinese Diets, a Template for Healthy Eating Habits. This popular cuisine highlights foods linked to cardiovascular health, like vegetables, soy-based foods, pungent flavorings, and tea. Chinese food has long ranked high on the list of America's favorite ethnic cuisines. Restaurant offerings don't always reflect the traditional daily fare eaten in China. Some popular but less healthful menu items, like pork spare ribs and fried dough sticks, should be reserved for the occasional indulgence. You can find lots of healthy options when dining out at a Chinese restaurant, and it's not hard to make your own healthy Chinese food at home, says Lillian Chung, editorial director of the Nutritional Source at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. In general, traditional Chinese cooking has a lot of merit, says Chung, a native of Hong Kong. Many staple foods like vegetables, tofu, and seafood are all linked to a lower risk of cardiovascular disease. So are the unsaturated oils like canola, soy, or peanut oil, frequently used to prepare Chinese dishes. Perhaps you're familiar with stir-fries made with broccoli or bok choy, but you may want to branch out and use snow pea leaves, which are delicate, slightly bitter greens. Bitter melon, which looks like a long, pale, rough-textured cucumber, is especially rich in vitamin A, potassium, and folate, says Chung. You can find these vegetables in large Asian groceries. Asian supermarkets also often have a large selection of whole fish, like hake, grouper, or sea bass, which are often prepared steamed with ginger and scallions. Shellfish like shrimp, clam, and mussels are good sources of protein and other nutrients. They're usually steamed or stir-fried, either alone or with vegetables. Shellfish are also far more environmentally friendly to farm than other animal-based protein sources like beef, pork, and poultry. Soybean curd or tofu is another healthy, versatile protein common in the Chinese diet. Chung likes to stir-fry soft tofu with green onions and a little bit of oyster sauce and top it with a few drops of toasted sesame oil. It takes just 5 minutes to make and is my favorite fast food, she says. Although white rice is embedded in Asian culture, nutrition experts urge people to opt for brown rice instead. Not only does brown rice offer more fiber and other nutrients, it's less likely than white rice to make blood sugar levels spike. Many Chinese restaurants now offer brown rice as an option. Chinese cooking relies on soy sauce and other savory sauces like black bean, hoisin, and oyster, all of which are high in sodium. People with high blood pressure should be careful not to consume too much sodium, which tends to raise the blood pressure. When dining out at a Chinese restaurant, request that your food be prepared without MSG, a flavor enhancer that also contains sodium. For home cooking, you can buy soy sauce with 37% less sodium, which is called less sodium soy sauce. Adding a little lemon juice or vinegar allows you to use less soy sauce without sacrificing flavor. Also, aromatic roots like onions, garlic, and ginger can lend extra flavor to food. Chili peppers, another classic ingredient in Chinese cooking, may also offer health benefits. Capsaicin, the chemical responsible for the spicy hot flavor in chili peppers, may alter how the brain processes salty flavors, leading to lower sodium intake. Don't care for spicy food? You might enjoy the sweet but intense flavor of Chinese five-spice blend, which is a mix of star anise, fennel, Sichuan pepper, cinnamon, and cloves. In China, similar to many cultures throughout the world, tea is the beverage of choice. Both green and black tea are rich in compounds called flavonoids that help to dampen inflammation, a culprit in heart disease. Tea drinking has also been linked to lower cholesterol and improved blood vessel function. In China, fruit, especially sliced oranges, is a customary dessert. If you'd like to try something more exotic, seek out lychees, which are a golf ball-sized tropical fruit native to southern China. Also known as alligator strawberry, the fruit has a rough pinkish-red skin and a white flesh with a sweet, slightly floral flavor. The next article from the Harvard Heart Letter of July 2023 is entitled, Cannabis, a Cardiovascular Concern? Using marijuana appears to heighten the risk of heart-related problems, but questions remain. Smoking marijuana was once a shady, secretive practice, but the stigma surrounding the drug has started to fade now that medical and recreational use is legal in many states. Cannabis use is on the rise, including among people in their 60s, 70s, and beyond. Doctors are trained to ask their patients about marijuana use, but we're still somewhat in the dark about how to educate them about using it safely, says Dr. Zara Latif, a third-year internal medicine resident at Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. That's mainly because cannabis is illegal at the federal level, which has restricted research on the drug. But change is afoot. The Medical Marijuana and Cannabidiol Research Expansion Act, which seeks to support research on the health effects of cannabis, was signed into law December 2022. For now, most of what we know about cannabis and health comes from observational and case studies that rely on people to report their marijuana use, but frequency and dosage levels are hard to assess with any accuracy, especially among people who use the drug recreationally. Accordingly, much about marijuana's effects, including its impact on the heart, remain unclear, says Dr. Latif, who co-authored a 2020 review in the Journal of Clinical Medicine about cardiovascular problems linked to marijuana use. Levels of active components vary widely among different strains of marijuana, and the plant can be as much as 10 times more potent than it was in the past. In addition, cannabis is now available in a wide variety of forms, which are mainly smoked or consumed as foods. It's also important to recognize that cannabis contains 500 chemicals. Some may affect the enzymes in your liver that help metabolize your medications, thereby raising or lowering the blood level of any of all of your prescribed drugs, including those you take for heart disease, Dr. Latif adds. Cannabis is known to increase heart rate and blood pressure, although high doses can have the opposite effect. Marijuana use has been implicated in causing heart attacks, especially in young men with no other risk for heart disease. There are also case studies of marijuana use triggering heart rhythm disorders like atrial fibrillation, as well as stress cardiomyopathy, in which a sudden surge of adrenaline causes heart muscle damage, leading to chest pain and breathlessness. Arteritis, which means inflammation of the walls of an artery that limits blood flow, also has been reported following high-dose cannabis use. Daily marijuana users are 34% more likely to develop coronary artery disease compared with people who've never used the drug, according to a study presented at the American College of Cardiology's annual conference, March 2023. And cannabis users had between 17% and 24% more strokes than people who did not use the drug, according to a 2022 statement on brain health from the American Heart Association. In 2021, a Canadian study found higher rates of emergency room visits and hospitalizations for serious cardiovascular problems, including heart attack and stroke, among people who were authorized to use cannabis for medical conditions. Hospitalizations and emergency department visits for heart attacks have risen in states where cannabis is legal, the AHA says. In a 2023 study, half of the people who showed up in an Amsterdam emergency department with self-reported cannabis intoxication had heart-related problems, including palpitations, chest pain, and fainting. Given the uncertainties about the dose, frequency, and formulation of cannabis and how it may affect a specific person, it's hard to give blanket advice about safe cannabis use. But Dr. Lateef tells her patients about the potential heart dangers so they can make an informed choice. The AHA's advice: anyone who's using cannabis or considering it should proceed with extreme caution. Next in the Harvard Heart Letter is a interesting article entitled COVID-19's Cardiac Legacy, an Update. The virus may leave people more vulnerable to a host of heart-related issues, but vaccination can lower these risks. More than 3 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, most Americans have been infected with the coronavirus at least once. It's now clear that these infections can have lingering effects on the cardiovascular system, including among people with no previous evidence of heart disease. Even a mild infection with SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, may increase your risk of a heart attack, stroke, or heart failure up to a year after you recover from the infection, as reported in the July 2022 Heart Letter. Now, a new study reveals a higher risk of additional heart complications in people with post-COVID conditions, commonly known as long COVID. Published March 3, 2023 in JAMA Heart Forum, the study relied on health insurance claims from more than 40,000 people throughout the United States during the first year of the pandemic. Compared with people without a diagnosis of PCC, or post-COVID condition, those with PCC were more than 3.5 times as likely to later have a pulmonary embolism and more than twice as likely to develop a heart rhythm problem like atrial fibrillation. In addition, the risk of stroke, coronary artery disease, and heart failure were twice as common in people with PCC. This evidence was gleaned before COVID vaccines were widely available, starting in early 2021. New research shows that being vaccinated against COVID can significantly lower the risk of serious heart problems, including heart attack, stroke, and death, in people who get COVID, says cardiologist Dr. C. Michael Gibson, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. The benefits of vaccination are most pronounced in older people who face the highest risk of heart problems, he adds. The finding comes from more than 1.9 million people in the United States age 18 to 90 who had a COVID-19 infection between March 2020 and February 2022. Even partial vaccination was linked to a lower risk of heart problems. What about myocarditis? Myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, is a rare condition that can arise after a viral infection, including stomach flu, the common cold, or COVID-19. Although mild myocarditis may go unnoticed, more serious cases can cause severe heart failure and rhythm disturbances. Starting in 2021, reports from around the world, including the CDC, noted a possible increased risk of myocarditis after receiving an mRNA COVID-19 vaccine made by Pfizer or Moderna. However, the risk of developing myocarditis is substantially higher immediately following a COVID infection than during the weeks after getting a COVID-19 vaccine. That's according to an analysis of nearly 43 million people in England, published September 6, 2022. Getting just one dose of COVID vaccine cut the risk of myocarditis in half, says Dr. Gibson, but it's worth noting that severe myocarditis is very rare. Just one in 15,000 people was hospitalized for or died of myocarditis. Because COVID vaccine also reduces the risk of other serious heart complications, the risk-benefit calculation is vastly in favor of getting vaccinated, says Dr. Gibson. Vaccines also appear to lower the risk of developing long COVID, so be sure to stay up to date with current CDC vaccination recommendations. And what is long COVID? It's lingering effects throughout the body. An estimated 10 to 13% of people infected with COVID-19 have lingering, debilitating symptoms known as post-COVID condition, PCC, or long COVID. PCC is defined as new, returning, or ongoing health problems that occur or persist for 4 or more weeks after a COVID infection. Symptoms might include fatigue, cough, or pain, such as joint pain, throat pain, or chest pain, loss of taste or smell, shortness of breath, brain fog, and depression. The COVID Recovery Center at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital treats people with long COVID, many of whom are young, previously healthy, athletic women who now have many of the classical symptoms of postural orthostatic tachycardia, or POTS, which is described in detail in the October 2021 issue of the Heart Letter. Now we're going to turn to research we're watching. This is in the Harvard Heart Letter of July 2023. And the first is, exercise may improve atrial fibrillation. For people with atrial fibrillation, or AFib, a program of supervised and home-based exercise may reduce the severity and frequency of their symptoms. This study was done in the April 2023 issue of JACC Clinical Electrophysiology. And researchers randomly assigned 120 people with occasional or ongoing symptomatic AFib to an exercise group or a control group. The 60 people in the exercise group were offered one-on-one exercise sessions featuring high-intensity interval training. These sessions were held once weekly for 3 months, and then every other week for an additional 3 months. Participants also got personalized recommendations for doing moderate to vigorous physical activity, like brisk walking, swimming, and cycling at home. The 60 people in the control group received 2 educational sessions about exercise benefits and were encouraged to do 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity each week. After 6 months, people in the exercise group had less severe AFib symptoms than those in the control group. After 12 months, 24 people in the exercise group were free of AFib versus 12 in the control group. The benefits probably reflected many factors, including exercise-induced improvement in heart and nervous system function, the authors said. Finally, in the research we're watching section, here's a brief article entitled Salty Diet Linked to Narrowed Arteries in the Heart and Neck. The more salt people eat, the greater their risk of clogged heart and neck arteries, a new study suggests. Arteries narrowed by plaque can lead to heart attacks and stroke. The study, published in March 2023 in the Europe Heart Journal Open, included 10,788 people aged 50 to 64. Researchers estimated each participant's salt intake by measuring levels of sodium in 24-hour urine collections. The study volunteers all received heart imaging tests and ultrasounds of their neck arteries to look for signs of atherosclerosis. The higher the participant's urinary sodium, the greater the amount of artery-narrowing plaque in their necks and hearts. A high-salt diet is closely linked to high blood pressure, an important cause of atherosclerosis. These findings were consistent even among people with only mildly elevated blood pressure, below 140 over 90. This suggests that even people without high blood pressure should watch their salt intake, said the authors. Now we're going to turn to the Harvard Women's Health Watch of June 2023. And the first thing we're going to do is read a section called Ask the Doctors by Dr. Tony Golan and Hope Ricciotti. The first questions that they addressed is, what causes brain freeze? With summer finally here, I'm enjoying more ice cream until I'm hit with the dreaded brain freeze. What causes this? Also dubbed as an ice cream headache, brain freeze is a common downside of relishing this frosty treat. The phenomenon happens when temperature of the roof of the mouth and back of the throat drops drastically from the shot of cold. This sets off a chain reaction. Blood vessels in the roof of the mouth rapidly narrow, which triggers brain arteries to dilate. Although the exact mechanism is not clear, it's likely the sudden artery wall expansion activates the trigeminal nerve, which relays sensory information from your face and head to your brain. It's a nuisance, but brain freeze is not going to hurt you. It disappears in 30 seconds. To ease it faster, push your tongue to the roof of your mouth, which will help warm the area. You can also eat your ice cream a little slower or keep a warm drink on hand to sip if brain freeze strikes. What is the reason that my heart rate is high? Question. As expected, my heart rate rises when I exercise, but sometimes it seems elevated for no apparent reason. Why might this happen? When at rest, the average adult's heartbeat is between 60 and 100 times a minute. Your heart can speed up for many different reasons, including physical activity. Other triggers include stress, smoking, caffeine, or alcohol use. Certain medications, including those that treat colds, asthma, mood disorders, and high blood pressure, can also elevate your heart rate. But a higher than normal heart rate can also result from a serious heart condition like anemia, overactive thyroid, or heart disease. Seek immediate medical care if your heart rate seems high and you're also short of breath, dizzy, lightheaded, or weak, or if you have chest pain. In the absence of urgent symptoms, make an appointment to talk to your doctor about what else might be contributing to a high heart rate. Now in the Harvard Women's Health Watch is an article entitled Good Intentions, Perilous Results. Certain supplements can skew the accuracy of lab tests. How can you protect yourself? Here's a frightening scenario. You're in the emergency room with symptoms suggesting a heart attack, but a widely used test that looks for a protein in the bloodstream called troponin says that heart attack isn't the cause, except it is, and your test was wrong because of the supplement biotin. Biotin, called vitamin B7, is often found in multivitamins, prenatal vitamins, and dietary supplements. Women use it far more often than men, according to a 2020 study. But many people don't know it's typically sold in doses far higher than our bodies need, which can alter the results from an array of vital blood tests. Harvard experts say, and biotin isn't the only supplement that poses this threat, potentially leading to life-threatening misdiagnosis or unnecessary additional testing. I think people assume supplements are either going to treat an illness they have or prevent one in the future, says Dr. Peter Cohen, an internist at Cambridge Health Alliance. Many people don't consider supplements possible wayward consequences. But if we're using a test to guide treatment, it's extremely important to know if a test is accurate, Dr. Cohen says. It's fundamental. As far as biotin is concerned, more than half of American adults use at least one dietary supplement. 10% report they take four or more. Biotin is the biggest offender among those that can interfere with blood work or other tests to diagnose or monitor various conditions. Many supplements contain biotin, including levels up to 650 times the recommended daily intake. The agency issued a safety alert about biotin for this reason several years ago. Biotin meddles with troponin markers and can also skew tests to pinpoint thyroid problems, hepatitis, COVID-19, other infections, pregnancy, and iron deficiency anemia. Excess biotin in the blood can interfere with the biotin that is used in the lab tests. Important diagnoses can be missed, such as heart attack, or you might be falsely diagnosed with a serious problem because of blood testing is faulty. Well, I'm going to stop at this point because it looks like we're out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.